Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Just asking James home repair questions during the commercial break. That's all. That's all. James Hamm is here. It is draft day. The Sacramento Kings, as it stands right now, do not have a draft pick. I'll ask you, this has been the question we've been asking each other all afternoon, Hammer. Do you think the Sacramento Kings make a draft pick tonight?
I do. Everything I'm hearing from sources around the league today tell me that there are multiple first-round picks available in the 20s. I don't know if you're going to be able to get up to 20 where Miami holds their pick, barring like a much larger trade. But there's a possibility of 21, which is the Utah Jazz, 24, which is the Thunder, 26 and 27 are both the Nets. The cost does not sound prohibitive at this point. It's possible that they could trade a player, but it's also possible that the 42 pick and a future second round pick would get you into the 20s in this year's draft.
Okay.
Yeah, well, lots of picks available, and the Kings have been aggressively trying to land one, and I would not be surprised if we hear that they have.
Can I ask one more thing? There's been, you know, we've asked about players, different things. Do you think the cost to get into the first round is high?
No.
Okay.
No, I think the cost to get into the top 10 is going to be high, like it always is. But I think that getting in, like, again, you got to remember that the Kings had their 2026 and 2027 second round picks held up in the Kevin Huerter trade. Remember that if the first round pick didn't relay, then the 26 and 27 second round picks, if it made it to next season. Well, the pick is being conveyed, so they now have their 26 and 27 second round picks. They also got the pick from Charlotte in the De'Aaron Fox deal that was a first round pick, but it wasn't going to be relayed, and it converted to 2 second round picks. So again, they've used some of that to go out and get Jonas Valanciunas and go out and get Jake LaRavia, but they do still have second round picks. So I would not be surprised at all if tonight we hear that they have given up like this year's number 42 or 2 future second round picks to move into the 20s this year.
Real quick, before I ask the DeMar DeRozan question to you and everybody else, percentage chance on the Kings making a pick tonight?
I'd say it's like 80. Like they've been trying to move into the 20s for the last like 2 weeks, but I do think that there's enough. You know, again, they're having a party, a media like watch party tonight. I don't know why we call it a watch party. It's not really a watch party. We're all just sitting around, and they do provide food, but there is no, you know, adult beverages or anything. It's not a true party.
That doesn't even sound fun.
No.
All those alcohol sponsors over there at the Golden One Center?
Yeah. And to be honest, like during the pandemic, we had one of these parties, and that's where I got COVID the first time.
Oh,
I went to the draft party, and then we go to meet Keegan Murray 2 days later, and I'm like, right in the middle of the press conference, I'm like, oh, I don't feel good.
Oh, that's great.
Then I had to call friends and say, sorry, I may
have
been sick.
Oh, I remember this.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, I got sick. So look, I think if you're going to have one of these parties, it specifically, I've been told, if they have a first round pick, then Scott Perry will come out and talk to us. If they don't, then we'll just all watch a draft and then we'll leave when it's over. Like, they'll shut
that
the TVs
awful.
Off and like flick the lights twice and everybody out.
Actually, that would be interesting. James Hamm, Sean Cunningham, Jason Anderson, just watching the draft. Matt George, just watching the draft together.
Yeah. Well, just hanging out. Yeah.
The thing I was going to ask everybody, now that James is here too, before we went to break,
DeMar DeRozan related.
Yeah, we were talking about DeMar DeRozan and the possibility of him being on this team opening night. And do you guys think DeMar DeRozan has more value or can net you more of a return today or February 1st? And the reason why I ask that is today, people may be looking around like, we like DeMar, but it's kind of a weird fit. I'm not going to give a whole lot up for him. He's 36 or whatever. But then you get to February 1st, and Cleveland might be like, bro, if we get DeMar DeRozan, that's what we're missing last playoffs. We can win the championship because we need a bucket right now. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit more of a sense of urgency for one of these contending teams to potentially make a deal to get them over the top. I would think maybe in February as opposed to this time of year. But what do you guys think? You think he potentially has more? DeMar DeRozan specifically, does he have more value today or in the beginning of February?
I mean, I think it's going to be the eyes of the beholder. So for the Kings, you're hoping that if you are going to trade DeMar, that you would trade him now. That because you don't have a lot of ways to get the players that you need. And we all know that they have players that they need, right? They don't have a starting point guard. And they don't have enough length and athleticism. They don't have the things that you need to sort of build out the rest of this roster. And DeMar's $24.5 million or $23.5 million, whatever it is today, it's a huge piece to the puzzle of how you acquire those players. And I think DeMar is at that, today, he's at that sweet spot where he makes a good amount of money. He's still productive, and his age is an issue, but it's not an issue because the contract isn't very long. But he's at a perfect spot where the age and the contract and the productivity is all pretty equal across the board.
Sure.
Right? So the problem that you have is if you wait until February, there's nothing that says that a 35-year-old isn't going to get injured between now and February. And so if I'm the Kings, I'm looking to move him now. Now, you're right. There could be a team that gets to the trade deadline and said, we really just need a pop off the bench, or we need some sort of scoring. And, you know, DeMar fits the bill. He'll fit into our system, that kind of thing. But for the Kings, you've got to find a point guard. You've got to find a way. And DeMar is one of the few ways in which you can do that. I'd say Malik Monk is one of the ways you can do that. You know, your trade exception for Kevin Huerter, $16.8 million, your $14 million mid-level exception. These are like you're running out of ways to do it. You don't even a first-round pick. Nobody expects if the Kings move into the 20s for them to not only land a first-round pick, but then have that guy start on day one. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about a top three pick or top five pick that has to start because you picked him so high. We're talking about a guy who, you know, is a developmental player that you're hoping develops in a year or two. Maybe he can play 10 to 15 minutes off the bench. Maybe he can't. And that's where, you know, sort of the picks in the 20s are.
You brought up a point guard. Your friend Mark Stein reported over the last 24 hours or so that the Kings allegedly have really strong interest in Dennis Schroeder. Do you know anything about that? Do you like the idea of Dennis Schroeder on Sacramento? What do you think about that report from Mark Stein?
Okay, so I'll get to the second part first. I don't hate the idea of Dennis Schroeder with the Sacramento Kings. Mm-hmm. As a starting point guard, I'm out. Like I, you know, again, Schroeder is almost 32 years old. He's played the team that he plays for this year will be his 10th team in 13 seasons. Like if you're going out there and thinking that you're going to like land gold with the 32-year-old, you know, 13-year vet who's bounced around all over the league, then I don't know what the idea is there. That doesn't make it, even as a stopgap.
Sure.
He doesn't make sense as a stopgap. He's been more of a bench player over the last couple of years than he has been a starter. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking at Malik Monk as a potential trade chip that you may or may not move, like if Monk is not here, you need to backfill that backup point guard spot. Mm-hmm. The problem is you're still looking at like, who do you start at the point guards? Mm-hmm. Who is your starting point guard? And if Dennis Schroeder is your starting point guard, this is the same. I've said this to you guys. The Kings need to avoid getting in that weird situation where, you know, they're just bringing in guys that are, you know, the back 20 of the NBA and point guards, you know, the Darren Collison type player. And that, again, I'm not trying to be rude to my guy, Darren Collison. It's just, that's where he was. That's where he was selected. I mean, that's what he was when he got here. He wasn't a top 15 point guard, and you're not going to be a top 15 team, most likely, if you don't have a top 15 point guard. And so I don't mind Schroeder, especially if Monk is no longer here. I said it earlier on the show, and I'll say it again. I think Malik Monk is a better player than Dennis Schroeder. He's younger than Dennis Schroeder. And if you're going to give somebody the starting point guard spot, you might as well just go back to Malik Monk if you're going to use Dennis Schroeder in that position. Now, it's possible that the only way to get a player that you really want is to move Monk, and so now you're going to have this hole. Because it doesn't, just because you trade Malik Monk doesn't mean you're bringing back a point guard. That could be the way that you get a starting small forward, or you get one of the other pieces that you need to the puzzle. So it could get a little dicey, but I'm not a big fan of the idea of like piecing together the point guard position with, say, Dennis Schroeder, and then making some deal to go get Marcus Smart or something, and having those two be your combo at the one. Mm-hmm. I mean, if that's the case, don't expect to win more than your 40 games that you won this last year, and potential to go backwards more than forwards.
Yeah, you know, I heard the Dennis Schroeder news last night like everybody else, and, you know, it was underwhelming for sure, but I think he's a solid basketball player, yeah. Pretty good. And I also, I don't know, my first thought wasn't starting point guard. I looked at that as a rotational, probably backup point guard type guy, but maybe I was off in that, you know, because a lot of people are looking at it as like starting point guard. I looked at him as a bench guy, your backup PG, and you're still out there trying to get your starting point guard somewhere. But
I agree with that. And the second part of his question, I've heard that that there's enough questions behind, like in agent circles and, you know, NBA sources circles, mm-hmm. that this wasn't necessarily a Kings. Well, it certainly is not coming from the Kings. Mm-hmm. It's certainly coming from the agent. And it's very possible this has been put out there to get Schroeder the money that he wants from Detroit. Mm-hmm. And this is not about the Kings at all. It's more about, you know, going out there and trying to get paid and trying to put it out there that the full mid-level exception is on the table and stuff like that. Because all of it seems a little suspect, especially today. Everyone knows the Sacramento Kings need a point guard. It's like been talked about nonstop. But I'm also hearing that a lot of people are like, okay, wait a sec, this one doesn't really pass the smell test. Mm-hmm. And so I would not be surprised if this isn't something that we see switch up really quick, and then Kings fans are going to be up in arms. We didn't even get Dennis Schroeder. It's like, yeah, he wasn't really part of the plan initially.
And you didn't want him. Why are you upset?
Yeah. But you know how Kings fans tend to talk themselves into something? That does happen. That does happen.
Okay.
Man, there's a lot there. James says he thinks the Kings are, he puts it at 80% that the Kings get into the draft tonight. He said the Dennis Schroeder report from Mark Stein is crap. And not Mark Stein's reporting, by the way, right. That it's an agent, with all due respect, doing their job, using the Sacramento Kings to try to help get his client money. And he's right. Everyone knows the Sacramento Kings desperately need a point guard. So the fact that they haven't been linked to more point guards. Well, so many of them have been moved so quickly.
Yeah, Drew Holiday. All gone.
Yeah, Drew Holiday was moved. I forgot the CJ move already happened. Like, yeah. There's
Jordan Poole.
So many different things around the league have already happened. Jesse asked a question a few minutes ago, Hammer. Since we're doing percentages here on draft day, what would you put the percentage at that Domas, LaVine, and DeMar all start the season together.
Oh, man. I'm going to take that like 25%, 30%. Like maybe I'm wrong there, but yeah, I don't know. I don't buy it. Like, look, if you want to improve the team, if you want to put a stamp on this roster and make it your own, that means you've got to trade whatever you have of value, some of your valuable pieces to go out and do that. And I don't think...
Is Domas the most valuable of those three?
Yes, without any doubt.
Zach being the least.
No. I would say, well, value and tradability are two totally different things. I'd say as value for the Kings, I'm going to say that Domas is number one, that Zach is number two, and DeMar is number three.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Really?
And that's mainly because of DeMar's age and that he takes a very specific style of play to fit where I think LaVine and Sabonis can fit in a lot more places. And of course, you know, Domas is a multi-time All-NBA player, multi-time All-Star. They're all multi-time All-Stars, but when you hit 35, it's not as easy to move. It's not as easy to sell that contract. But as far as like value... on the open market, it's probably, I think, you know, DeMar is probably the easiest to move because realistically it doesn't take a $30 million player to go get, you know, DeMar. It might take, you know, an $8 million player and a $10 million player and you got up to enough money to reach the salary threshold and trade him. Mm-hmm. Where Domas or Zach, both of them, I mean, $47 million for LaVine and what, $44, $45 million for Domas, that's a team deciding to rip apart their roster because unless you got another $45 million player to trade straight up, you're looking at four or five players, some, you know, three, four or five players to get to that dollar amount. And that's a lot. That's it's not easy to just, you know, swap those guys out.
When you talk about DeMar, obviously we've said a number of different times, it's been a foregone conclusion in many people's eyes that DeMar was going to be gone from the Sacramento Kings. I think you probably heard some of the same things that I heard after that last game of the season, or both sides. Like, DeMar was like ready to go. His representation was, you know, trying to get that out there. Is there a possibility that with Scott Perry at the helm, a conversation might have been had between the two sides and there might have been a change of heart with DeMar and the Kings, and specifically DeMar's feelings about staying here in Sacramento?
I think like everything is on the table because that's just like where you're at in the season. Like if a deal doesn't materialize and the Kings don't have another way to go get a starting level small forward, that's where they are today. Like they don't have a first round pick. They don't have a ton of money to go out and spend. They, you know, we talk about like the trade exception. You might be able to go out and use the trade exception to get a player. You might be able to use a mid-level exception to go out and sign a player. But you also, like, you got to find somebody that wants to play here and that wants to take your money. And that's not always just as simple as like, hey, I've got $14 million. Do you want it? And someone's like, yes, I do. A lot of times they have better offers in other places. They're from a certain part of the country. They're worried about taxes. Like there are lots of reasons why. So like I'm not going to be surprised at anything at this point. Because again, like in order for the Kings, like you want Scott to be able to put his stamp on this, but if he can't put a stamp on it right now and like nothing works out, nothing materializes here in, on draft night or in the first day of free agency, second day of free agency, and you're getting a little desperate, you know, I think you can make some moderate tweaks to have a lot of different, you know, again, with all the players that the Kings had last year that are no longer here, that aren't under contract, whether it's Markelle Fultz or Jake Crowder or, Doug McDermott or, you know, Trey Lyles, like some of those guys, one of those guys, two of those guys, Jake LaRavia, they might be back, but it's also possible, like I just named five guys. You got Terrence Davis, who's on a non-guaranteed deal. You got Isaac Jones, who's on a non-guaranteed deal. I got up to seven guys who may or may not be here at all. You're going to have a lot of roster turnover no matter what. Mm-hmm. And we always talk about how Scott flipped the Knicks roster in 12 months, right? Well, he's already halfway there. Like, he doesn't even have to do anything, and he's halfway there right now. You know, that's the simplicity to what's going on in Sacramento with their roster. Now, to take the next logical step to keep moving, if you're going to move some of the other guys, you know, I think the only long-term contract you have right now, you're expecting to have a long-term contract for Keegan Murray, but Domas is, I think, the longest-term contract. I think him and Monk are both 3 years, but Monk has a player option in the final year. The rest of them, you know, again, Zach LaVine's 2 years. You got 1 year of DeMar DeRozan and a $10 million buyout for the next year. Mm-hmm. Like, nothing here is permanent. Jonas Valanciunas has a one-year $10 million deal right now with an $11 million option for the next year.
Mm. What type of player, you brought up Scott Perry, we were talking about this earlier, because we genuinely don't know the answer. What type of player does Scott Perry like?
I think it's very clear he wants gritty, physical, defensive-minded players. Like, if you go back and look at the players that he's drafted over the years, you know, again, when he was in Orlando, he drafted Aaron Gordon. Here in Sacramento, he's part of the draft that took De'Aaron Fox number one. You know, Justin Jackson, who just won a national championship. Harry Giles, who was one of the most talented but injury-plagued players. Frank Mason, another physical guy. That had, you know, gone big places with Kansas. So you saw that, but then look at the Knicks draft picks. Look at the R.J. Barrett to Emmanuel Quickley's. He drafted Emmanuel Quickley with the 25th pick in the draft. I would not be surprised if he's looking for the next Emmanuel Quickley with that same, you know, if he can get into the 20s.
Well, Twitter says he might be looking for the original Emmanuel Quickley, too.
The Emmanuel Quickley.
Yeah, and that's another thing. Like, look, I do think that there is going to be the chase for Emmanuel Quickley. I think that, you know, like, this is a player that, you know, he drafted that really he hit on. That's a big time, you know, feather in your cap that you landed a guy at 25 who's, you know, starting NBA caliber point guard who averages 18 points a game, shoots 38% from three. Like, sure. Quickley's a really, and Quickley's tough. He's like long, the length and athleticism that you're looking for, the physicality you're looking for.
Shoot it.
Like, if they can get Quickley here, I'm sure that they're going to throw a lot to try to get there, you know? And that's why I think we've heard, you know, Malik Monk's name mentioned with the Toronto Raptors a ton.
Real quick, staying on Quickley real quick. You think he, do you look at him as a starting caliber point guard?
Emmanuel Quickley?
Yeah.
Yeah, without any doubt. I think he's a starting NBA point guard. Yeah.
For a good team, like.
Yeah.
Because I like him a lot. I like Emmanuel Quickley since he was drafted.
Yeah, I mean, if we're looking at the top 15 point guards in the league, I don't know if Quickley makes exactly the top 15. He's probably close. Mm-hmm. But he's not at the back end of the, you know, from 20 to 30 as far as NBA point guards. This is he's a ball player and he's gritty. He's tough. Like, this is a type of player that, that Scott Perry is always looking for. You know, he does have a player type and it's, you know, the physical guys, the, you know, Josh Hart type player that, you know, guys that, you know, don't mind mixing it up a little bit.
Do the Kings have any of those? Valanciunas, I think, is one, but.
Oh yeah. Valanciunas is one for sure. Outside of that,
is Domas?
Yeah, I would say, yeah, Domas is an extremely physical player.
He's very physical. He's tough in regards, like, he gets roughed up a lot. But I don't know that his game would be described as tough.
Ooh, I don't know. I think so. I mean, how many times does that guy get hit in the head?
No, that's what I mean.
When we think of tough, I think part of it, and this is just a bad description, we think of willing to be confrontational, like willing to mix it up with somebody.
Well, I also think back to the basket, I'm going to destroy this person guarding me.
Yeah,
I think of that too, and I don't know that Domas really strikes me as that.
Yeah, but you can't lead the league in rebounding 3 years in a row and not be tough. Especially
no, I got you.
When you're surrounded by bad rebounders most of the time you're in Sacramento. I think Keegan stepped up and become a better rebounder, but like, look at the other players that he's played with that just don't rebound at all. I mean, like, I think Harrison Barnes got like an allergy to rebounding in his final 2 years here. Like, he just stopped doing it. And so, like, that guy is holding down the fort. He's, you know, watch him fight in the post. He's tough and he's strong.
Mm-hmm.
So I put him in that category. The other guy, I'm going to keep bringing him up, and I hope that he's here in Sacramento and that they actually give him a shot, because when you're looking at draft picks and you're looking for these like 6'5", 6'6" guys that, you know, again, the Oklahoma City Thunder has like 15 of them. They're all like these guys that are physical. Look at Indiana, the Aaron Nesmiths of the world. Mm-hmm. That, you know, these buff dudes that are pushing people around and playing great defense. Like, Isaiah Crawford, like, has the frame to be that guy. And his performance at the G League level showed you that there's a possibility for him to be one of those guys. And I think the Kings have done a nice job of finding sort of the diamonds in the rough, whether it's Keon or Isaac Jones. I would say Keon is another tough guy, but he's a really skinny tough guy.
Sure.
And that's you know, and Fox. Fox was a tough guy. But again, a skinny, tough guy. So, but I think you're right. They don't have enough of those guys at all. And, you know, that's who Doug wants too. He wants
sure.
like that physical, strong, defensive minded guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Domas is tough.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of, is there a distinction between tough and an enforcer type guy. Guy that, you know, you can't mess around with this dude.
You know, they don't have that guy.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was thinking when I was thinking tough. I think Malik is that guy. Like, Malik, who was he about to not fight, but he was getting into it with Dylan Brooks that time, mm-hmm. you know, talking crazy to him. Like, you can talk to Domas or Keegan or any of these guys, maybe even Zach LaVine, and they ain't going to do nothing. You know what I mean? And I don't
but
even
tough
know.
Is so tough is confrontational.
That's part of it. Okay. It's not the only thing. Because okay. like James said, Domas is tough enough to lead the league in rebounding. And that's,
yeah.
you know, it's physical down there for sure. But there is a thought that Domas can be pushed around a little bit is what I was thinking.
Mm. I don't think that's the case. I don't think Domas, he's a pro's pro. He's not thrown down. He's not punching people. Like, I think no one's
punching people.
We might have missed the toughest guy, the guy who is willing to do that on the Kings roster, and that was Trey Lyles.
Sure, yeah. Trey actually has done it.
Yeah, he did.
He has grabbed people by their throats. And
well, that and he, I mean, he yelled at his own teammates this year. Like, even on the bench, like, he got into it with DeMar DeRozan. And, like, I like the accountability factor that Trey brought. I just don't know that, like, his body wise, he's holding up well enough to continue, and certainly not at $8 million a year.
So he's gone. In your opinion, of course.
I think there's a high likelihood that Trey is one of the guys that aren't here this coming season. But again, you can do worse. The Kings don't have a natural power forward with him out of the picture.
Mm.
And that's going to be a problem. They don't have a back to the basket guy. They don't have a, like Keegan can do it a little bit. You can shift Domas over and play him alongside Valanciunas if they're both still there. But they don't have a natural power forward type guy.
So that brings up another question. And obviously Scott Perry, we hope, has a plan for what this offseason looks like. But let's say your 80% pays off, Hammer, and the Sacramento Kings are in fact drafting tonight. And we could go, you know, somewhere, you know, 20, mid-20s, whatever your heart desires. You just mentioned the power forward there a minute ago. We all know the point guard roles. What position are you attacking if you are in the draft tonight?
Well, I mean, I think the first thing you need to do is I think we can all understand that, number one, they need a point guard. But number two, they need a point guard because they don't even have a backup point guard. Mm. And that's a problem. Like, Malik Monk is just a guard. He's just a, you know, a six man, right? And I think that if you're going to walk into this year's draft, you can and move into the 20s. There are a couple of point guard prospects that would make sense for the Kings, and at least one that I know that there was that the Kings do have interest in. Mm-hmm. Whether he's going to be available when they draft or not, but I've heard Walter Clayton Jr. out of Florida is a guy who has drawn interest from the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of those players who just flat out, he's a winner. Like, he took Florida to the national championship. He might not be a pure point guard, but he certainly is one of those guys that you put him on the floor and watch him work and you appreciate what he does. He's just nearly impossible to stop, you know, three level scorer, not the biggest athlete, you know, the greatest athlete, but certainly athletic enough. And crafty. So that's a guy I would look at. There's also, if you're looking long-term, Nolan Traore out of Saint-Quentin. He's an international player. I think he's French. He's 19 years old, though, and you're going to have to wait, but he's more of a pure point guard.
Yeah. And do you just, I guess nobody really knows, but if they go back into that draft, do you believe it's for a point guard specifically, or is it best player available at that time?
No, I mean, I think if you're going into a specific area of the draft, it's because you kind of have somebody circled. Oh, and the other guy that I've heard at least a little bit of murmur about is Jace Richardson. If you're not able to grab, he's a combo guard, but 6'2", Jason Richardson's son. This is a type, if you're looking at that range in the draft. And this draft is really strange. There aren't any, like, go to the second round. You look at all of the prospects in the second round. There's, like, two guys who are 6'7", 6'8". Like, it's just a really odd draft without, like, a tremendous amount of, length and athleticism. Even, like, the flyer guys, the guys who are just, like, over-the-moon athletic and super long and athletic but have, like, no real game outside of that.
Mm-hmm.
There's not even a bunch of those guys hiding. So I think they'll be active tonight. I think that, you know, again, they'll be active looking at potential guys as undrafted free agents, especially if they give up the number 42 pick to move up. But I also don't think that you're out there shopping and looking for a whole bunch of extra bodies at this point, because you're a team that's looking to improve quickly and you know, you need to refill the pipeline that brought you players like Keon Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to be really kind of smart and find guys in probably the undrafted free agent market to get some of that, to fill out like the G League roster, to fill out the two-way. I think only one two-way moving forward. I think Isaiah Crawford's the only one that is two-way eligible, because Isaac Jones, they already promoted to the main roster. And Mason Jones has aged out of the two-way process.
What is there a team that you're watching really closely tonight? Maybe not as it relates to the Sacramento Kings, but we know Brooklyn's got like five or six or whatever it is, first-round picks. Boston hasn't stopped making moves since the finals buzzer went off. Is there a particular team outside of Sacramento that you're watching really closely tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone's looking to see what Brooklyn's going to do, because they have number 8, they have number 19, they have number 22, they have number 26, and number 27.
Yeah.
So they have five first-round picks. And then the other really weird anomaly is the Boston Celtics, I think, are 28 in this year's draft. They're the only team from number 13 to number 30 who own their original pick. Every other pick from 13 to 30 has already been traded and is a different team's pick. I'm interested to see if Boston dumps their pick and does more moving and shaking. The other team, I think that there's all kinds of wild rumors and speculations right now, is Philadelphia. They're trying to move up to number 2, but having San Antonio hasn't been budging. There's a possibility they may shop Paul George. Like, there's all kinds of things that could happen there at number 3, and you're kind of looking at a team that's on the brink, you know, brink of, mm-hmm. of breaking down in a disastrous team, and you almost wonder if, you know, they're a team that you could take advantage of. And then, like we were talking about with Boston, you know, they already traded Kristaps Porzingis and Jrue Holiday. That saved them $27 million in salary cap money. It saved them $194 million in luxury tax dollar, according to Keith Smith. And that's one of those things where...
Still above the apron.
They are still above the apron, and they could still move one more of their really, really good players.
I tried to look at what moving the pick would do. Like, oh, Boston, they'll get out of the first round.
No, it's nothing.
It's like, it's not even worth it. It's no, like $2 million.
Yeah, just draft the player.
Yeah, because just that's draft the player.
Basically a league minimum pick.
Right.
You get up to where the Kings were last year, though, like number 13. Devin Carter made $5.5 million in his rookie season.
Stole $5 million.
What? See, come on. See,
what? Okay, see? That's my bad. That's my bad. That was, look, I'll, look, sorry. Fine. My bad. Not the biggest Devin Carter fan.
Well, I think he spent a lot of that. I mean, he dresses well.
Does he?
No, he got better. Yeah, he got better. He dresses well.
Well, yeah. He at least, he's one of those guys that, like, he's got the bling and everything else. You're like, all right. It's all real.
Just because something is expensive doesn't mean that it looks good.
No,
I saw a video, a YouTube video of him a while back where he was out shopping for apartments.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here in Sacramento?
Mm-hmm.
Shopping for
apartments.
This was like
after he got drafted, like shortly. And he got a new car, okay, and he went looking for apartments.
I remember Hassan Whiteside. Oh, I got here to Sacramento, mm-hmm, and the first thing he did was went out and bought like a $250,000 Mercedes. And mm-hmm, someone was like, hey, man, like, how much do you make? And he was on the low-scale rookie deal. He was a second-round pick. I think he made $460,000. And they were like, bro, what are you doing? Like, you're not going to be able to afford that car, like, if you don't get a second contract. And he only had a two-year deal. And they got waived in the middle of a second deal. Like, there are players that come in the league and just, like, you know. And then you have the opposite. You had Jimmer, who was still driving around his Hyundai Elantra.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Brad still Stevens still drives like a, he drives like a Honda Civic or something.
Oh, wow.
It's the same car he's had forever. Like, he, that's just what he drives.
I know, like, when Nick Stauskas got drafted, he lived in the apartments right there next to the arena and would just walk, and it was because he didn't even have a license. And the same with DeMarcus. When DeMarcus got here, he did not know how to drive. They taught him how to drive in the parking lot at Arco. And the same with Stauskas. Eventually, Stauskas got his driver's license. They taught him how to drive in the parking lot.
What's funny about this that, I like, some people don't, like, think about is a lot of these guys have never, like, scheduled a dentist appointment.
Oh, no.
Or a doctor's appointment, or like all they know is like what their teams are associated with, what their schools are associated with. Of course, when you're younger, your parents do all of that stuff. Right. You get to the pro, you're in a brand new city, maybe you got a whole bunch of money, and it's like, oh yeah, you need to go to the all of your doctor stuff, obviously. Well, you need to go to the dentist. What?
You don't want to look
less, much less buy a car or a house or an apartment or whatever. Like, I don't want to do any of that stuff.
Yeah, they don't. And, you know, a lot of them come from families that never had credit cards.
Sure.
You know, that, you know.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
A lot of lower income families that, like, had no money, and so they don't know how to pay a credit card bill or, you know, any of their bills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so sometimes it's good that they have help, you know, and, you know, shout out to our guy, Andrew Rogers, who was here with DeMarcus.
Mm-hmm.
He came with DeMarcus from Kentucky and realistically just was his business manager and his manager overall and helped them, like, learn how to live life. But there's a lot of kids who don't have that, and it just goes sideways really, really fast. And people, you know, hey, I'll do all that for you. I'll only charge you $150,000 a year or something. And they just steal their money. And,
well, you got that Tatis lawsuit that's going on right now.
That was crazy.
Yes, Tatis signed some contract when he was 17 or something like that, where this company promised him $2 million up front for 10% of all of his future earnings.
Oh, no.
Like, yeah. All of them.
Yeah.
And now he's suing, like, what? Like, I was a minor. Like, this needs to be voided. Like, I hope he wins that deal. Because
that's a crazy deal right
that's
there.
That's insane.
That was...
Well,
but you tell someone who's never had money before,
yeah,
hey, here's $2 million against, here's $2 million you can see versus 10% something no one's computing, 10% against money you don't even know you're going to make.
Right.
Well, that, and as soon as they start making money, credit card companies start sending them bigger and bigger and bigger credit cards. They don't know how to pay for them. They know how to walk.
Kenny got the black one a couple of weeks ago. They just sent the black one to him. Like, hey, get to it when you can.
Who got a new car?
So they you know, guys walk into a jewelry shop and they'll spend $25,000 on earrings, but they don't know how to pay for it.
Devin went to the jewelry
shop. See, there you go. Yeah.
No, they don't even know how to pay the credit card that they just got. And it, so, like, a lot of it just bad credit and everything else. It's really tough, man. Yeah. And the league can only do so much to help.
And that stuff, like, happens as an... Like, that stuff happens when you're becoming an adult, just as the three of us.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but it happened to Dirk. It happened to Tim Duncan. Tens of millions.
Well, see, and that's the thing. Later. We didn't get $10 million when we turned 18 or 19. I can't imagine. Nobody ever asked. They knew I didn't have it. Nobody ever asked me for money when I was 18 years old. I can't imagine how many people are asking these young men for, you know, that they grew up with. You talk about the neighborhoods that they come from and all of those
the family members.
Yeah,
are your security.
Yeah.
They're your security. Like, what exactly are you going to do? First of all, why does he need security? The Kings have security. Secondly, what exactly are you two going to do? Like, why is your aunt and your uncle your security? I'm sorry. That's
right. We'll come back. We got more with James Hamm. We got draft coverage beginning an hour from now. We got the first pick made in just over an hour and a half. Will the Sacramento Kings draft tonight? Mm. James says he thinks they will. I say I think they won't. We will solve nothing, but we will come back on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. It's because I unplugged when we were telling jokes earlier, and now James is telling secrets. I got to plug my headphones back in.
And now Stone Cold has entered the room.
Oh, man, it's going to be an interesting night. It is going to be an interesting night. James thinks the Kings are going to draft tonight. I don't. What do you think?
You think the Kings are drafting? Earlier, I don't think they do. I wouldn't be surprised if they did, but I don't. My thing, James, is I haven't been able to see, and you did a great job of laying this out earlier, which might change my mind a little bit, but I don't see how they get into the first round. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think Miami wants to give up the 20 for DeMar. You talked about Utah. You talked about, you know, OKC. Yeah, potentially, but I'm just trying to figure out how you even get into the first round with the assets that they have.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is going to have to be with future draft capital. Like, I mean, there might be a bigger deal out there where, again, it's slightly lopsided and requires the other team to send back a late first round pick or something. Mm-hmm. But I haven't really heard a lot of those deals. Like, the deals that we're hearing are pretty net neutral trades. And if anything, there might be like one team needs to sweeten the deal just a little bit to make it happen. Mm-hmm. But to get into, like, when you have a team who has five first round picks, like, what are they going to – everyone in the league can just say, all right, go ahead and take them. What are you going to do? You got, like, a sixth of the draft, the first round, you own. Like, they're not going to be able to move up, package all those picks and, like, move up to number 10. No one is sitting there waiting for that deal. And, you know, teams don't typically want to take in five rookies at one time. Because number one, you can't bring all of them along at the same pace.
Mm. But the Nets might.
Well, maybe, but the problem still is
nothing else to do. Might as well.
You got to give them guaranteed contracts. Mm. So you're looking at five guaranteed contracts, and that's a lot. That's a 30-year roster is guaranteed rookie contracts to some dudes who aren't like top five picks. Mm. You know, even you go back to when the Kings had four, I think it was a 91 draft, 92. They drafted Lionel Sims, number 7. They drafted Travis Mays, number 14. They had Dwayne Coswell was 19. Anthony Bonner was like 21, I think. So they had 4 picks, but those aren't all in the 20s. So you're hoping you're getting, you know, a starter with the 7th pick, a rotational player with the 14th, and then just flyers with 19 and 21. And that's what you're hoping you get is 19. I mean, at 20 or 21 or 22. Either way, that's not what the Nets have. The Nets have, they have number 8, but then they have 19, 22, 26, and 27.
Yeah.
So you're not even guaranteed a starter out of any of those.
Mm-hmm.
You're hoping that it maybe in year 2 you got a starter, but you also have you have to give them guaranteed 2-year deals with a 3rd and a 4th year option. And a lot of teams are looking at that saying, I don't think I want to just guarantee those roster spots. And that's why a lot of teams at the back end of the draft just bail on their picks. You know, they trade them off for, you know, they'll push it off a couple of years or they'll take a couple of seconds.
It's weird to me that for a draft that I feel like we've heard so much about for the last year, maybe year and some change, about how talented it is and how deep it is, that you hear, of course, they're just rumors, so it's whatever. But you hear rumblings of like New Orleans and Toronto and teams at like 7 and 9 potentially wanting to move. And then, as you said, you get deeper into the draft and they're just like, it's whatever. Hmm. You know, if we could get out of this if we can't. Like, if we can get out of this, we will. It's just, I feel like there's been a shift. Maybe not everyone is as enamored with this draft as they might have been a year ago. Or maybe they're just really enamored with the very top of the draft, whether it's 1 through 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever. But there seems to be a fall off somewhere that doesn't have a lot of teams excited.
Well, yeah. And also look at what they got for Kevin Durant. Wasn't that like the 10th pick and 5 seconds?
Yeah.
You remember a couple of years ago when Jay Crowder got traded for 5 seconds and everyone was like, whoa, what just happened there?
Mm-hmm.
I think, didn't Sadiq Bey get traded for
Jay Crowder, Kings legend, by the way.
Shout out Jay
Kings
Crowder.
Legend. Yeah. But I think, second round picks have become like way, way more valuable to teams, not than first round
because
picks.
Because of the...
Well, there's a couple of reasons. Number one, you don't have to guarantee the money.
Okay.
But number two, they created the new second round pick exception. And so that helps as well, where you can sign guys to you have more protections if you use the exception on your second round picks. So again, like Colby Jones was one of the first ones assigned the second round pick exception, and it gave the Kings just more leeway of, you know, the 3rd year and the 4th year without having like the guaranteed money, all the guaranteed money up front. He maybe had a little bit of guaranteed money in year 2, but year 3, year 4, like none of it's guaranteed. And but you still, if you keep him at like pennies on the dollar, you actually get to a point where you still have their bird rights, and you know there's if they're good, you can retain them as restricted free agents. Where a lot of times, like right now, that was pre like Keon Ellis, where all of a sudden the Kings went out and signed him to a 2-way deal, and then they gave him a 2-year deal, and now they run into this problem that, you know, they have this major decision to make on his years of service, and they could end up losing him because of his years of service and because of the contract they signed, you know, 2 years ago.
I know today is the first round of the 2025 NBA draft. That's what we're locked in on. But we won't have you around tomorrow, at least on the D'Lo and KC. So the second round, to my knowledge right now, they just have the 42 pick, or do they?
No, they just have 42.
They just have 42.
Uh-huh.
Typically with the second round, and I like that you mentioned that it is seemingly getting more and more important by the year. Is that literally another, hey, just – best player available, take a swing for the fences? Or is that an area where the Kings can kind of lock in and look at? I know we talk about Proctor from Duke, and you know there's some players that they can lock in on and really try to improve their team with specific guys.
Yeah, I think when you get to the second round, you're looking, you know, in the maybe the first 8 picks of the second round, those are guys that, you know, very well could have been first round picks. Right. And then at some point during the process, they probably were first round picks, and guys move in and out of the first round, especially that back half. Right. So when you're looking at players, if you're sitting at 42, you're a little deeper into the second round. You know, that's 12 guys that probably not, you're not going to get more than one or two that were potential first round picks. It's where your scouting really comes in. I don't care about fit or about anything. For me right there, you're going out there and saying, okay, who has the best chance to actually make it? Who has something? And so what you're typically looking for is one or two really good NBA skills. So if a guy's a great shooter, you brought up Proctor, right? Great shooter, right? You look at, who's this? Rocco Zikarski out of Brisbane, a 7 foot four and a quarter, 257 pound, 18.9-year-old, you know, kid coming into the draft. We're looking at 7 foot four dude, right? I don't even know what this guy looks like, but he's slated to go 45.
Yeah.
And just so happens the guy above him, his name is Javon Small. So you have this monster, and then you have this guy who's 6'2", whose last name is literally Small.
Yeah.
So what you're just looking for when you're going through is, you know, is, does a guy, can he block shots? Mm-hmm. Can a guy knock down a three? Can a guy defend at an incredible level? And I think the Kings are looking for tough guys. I think they're looking for guys that, like, look at all the players that OKC had and Indiana had that made a difference. Mm-hmm. And a guy I've heard that they like is Elijah Martin, who's like 6'2" 3/4". He's a senior, 23 and a half years old. But he's a shooting guard, 208-pound at almost 6'3". But he's a bruiser. He's somebody who plays physical. He's on that Florida team that won the national championship. And so it's a player like that who you're looking just for like one or two reasonable skills. Can you go out and can you just defend at such a crazy level? And maybe we can work with you on your three-point shot. Maybe we can develop something else to make you a more reasonable all-around player. And then every once in a while, you just strike gold. You know, like Jalen Brunson, Jokic, Draymond Green, like guys go in the second round, Isaiah Thomas. Like there are people that teams just miss on. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, the Kings just fully missed on like what's the center for Golden State that they should have taken and let fall to the Golden State Warriors. Oh my goodness. Trayce Jackson-Davis. Like Trayce Jackson-Davis.
Oh yeah, but there were circumstances around that, weren't there?
There were some circumstances, but those are for you to deal with afterwards. You draft a player, you got him. And then he's got to figure it out. Like Trayce Jackson-Davis wanted a guaranteed contract, mm-hmm. a guaranteed like a first round contract, and he fell all the way to like what 55 or something. Mm-hmm. The Kings were sitting there at like 52, and this is a guy who, like, a lot of us had in the early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. A guy who averaged 20 and 10 in college and blocked, like, 3.5 shots a game or something.
Yeah.
He can't shoot a three at all, but that doesn't matter. At least he can go out there and play. You know, he pass the ball well. So that's what you're looking for. You're looking for someone who either is someone who fell that shouldn't have fallen or somebody who has a skill or two that you think you can develop one or two other skills to make them an NBA caliber player.
Mm. Okay, James, you got to go. Get out of here. Break some news, and we'll be tapped in with you and Kyle tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. So James is off to break news.
Something like that.
No, he's off to watch the draft just like everybody else. We hope that he breaks news, and James says he thinks the Kings are getting in tonight. And
did he change your mind a little bit?
No. Well, I'll tell you what, he made me feel really good. One, James knows 10 times more than I do. I'm just being difficult. One thing that he made me feel really good about that was like, oh, okay, maybe they can, is the price to get in tonight.
Doesn't necessarily even require.
It's not South Beach prices tonight. Yeah. You can finagle a couple of second round picks in the future, and try to get something done. So yeah. That's good.
I had heard somebody, I just talked to some people that I know, and This is kind of the same verbiage that James kind of mentioned with trying to get in the first round, but they mentioned they might, worst case scenario, they might try and buy their way back into the first round. That could be like money, that could be draft compensation, but that's the term they use, was like buy their way back into the first
round. Yeah.
So.
Okay. All right, Hammer.
Let's go, baby. Let's go. I don't know why we're pumping up Hammer like he's going to. Come on, James. Let's go, baby. Take Abe with you. Let's go. I don't even know. I'm just like, I don't know. Maybe I'm
fidgety. He's like the high school kid that would leave during biology class to go to the football game.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Right, go get him, kid.
Go beat Johnson.
Go get him.
During like that whole thing where I got really fidgety. Maybe like something is going on. I also told people, don't leave me alone. Like, I don't. Now people all of a sudden are texting, calling during commercial breaks. It's like, man, leave me alone.
Hey, man.
I'm just here with my man KC. We just doing a show. We just trying to have a good time. We on vibes. Yeah. And now y'all are getting talkative.
Good old JR. He said business is picking up.
Yeah, business is definitely picking up.
It needs to. I've been waiting all day.
I've actually been waiting a couple days, to be honest with you.
Oh, like I said, well, Shams told us don't go to sleep.
Well, the second the Desmond Bane trade was done, it was like, what are we waiting for? Right. Then the finals ended, and it's like, hey, they did KD's trade yesterday. What are we doing?
Now it's time. Now it's time, baby.
Fool me, you can't get fooled again.
Well, what'd you think? What'd you think?
What the J. Cole song told me.
What'd you think NBA-wise, though? Business gonna pick up?
So KD, Drew, Porzingis. I think those were all to a certain. I mean, what KD was happening? There was no question about that. The other two were pretty predictable and felt like damn near certainties. Mm-hmm. The Desmond Bane was the RKO out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. That's the one. I'm like, how many more of those are there? And is there something in between? I feel like Trey would be something in between. I feel like LaMelo would be a Desmond Bane thing. Like, yeah, are we talking about it? But is there real buzz around a LaMelo Ball trade?
What you mean? Like, if it happened?
It'd be surprising.
Oh, that would – I think that would be the move of the night.
Oh, no, for sure. Yeah, but what I mean is, like, it would be shocking.
We wouldn't
like,
be anticipating.
Yeah, I don't think – again, you talk about it, but I don't think you're anticipating – I don't expect LaMelo Ball to be traded. I don't even expect Trey Young to be traded.
I agree.
I'm wondering if there's more of those Desmond Bane deals like out there. I don't know what else. You know, there's certainly no Kevin Durant situation out there. If it was Giannis, we'd know. Mm-hmm. Like, Giannis would leak it. Giannis might tweet it. Giannis's people would tell it. Like, they're very loud in this stuff. Probably poorly calculated loud. And, like, we know every meeting they've ever had with the Milwaukee Bucks. That's why so many people, like you, like Jesse, feel like this is inevitable. Mm-hmm. You're so loud about these stupid-ass meetings that you have every year. Just ask to leave.
Right.
It's I think you said this a couple weeks ago. It's 100% the Dame Lillard thing. It's gotten to the point where it's inevitable.
Right.
Just
not
do it.
Not a matter of if, but when.
Yeah, just do it. And it's fine. No, I was going to say no one's going to be mad. Yeah, there's one fan base that'll be mad. Everyone's just do it. Like everyone else knows it's coming.
You'll love Jaylen Brown.
I'll say, okay.
No? Right,
well, we don't need him to go there.
No?
We don't need him to go there, Jesse. I'm just going to say it. You got your championship. I'm happy for my – you got to see one. But now I can go back to
In all honesty, though, like, Milwaukee should be calling the Spurs right now.
Who would you want, De'Aaron Fox?
You have to be De'Aaron because you got to make money work.
Yeah, De'Aaron.
I mean, unless De'Aaron. You're like you
De'Aaron
make
De'Aaron and Harrison.
Well, De'Aaron's perfect because you lost Dame. Mm-hmm. You can figure that problem out later.
De'Aaron got shipped to Milwaukee. That'd be crazy.
Imagine De'Aaron being on four teams in 3 years or something. Yeah, if De'Aaron
to Giannis less Milwaukee.
What, Dame?
I don't know, man. I have said since the lottery, I don't think De'Aaron plays another game for San Antonio.
Ooh.
I'll say it. Hey, okay. I get it. I'm a hater. I get it. Let's Kyrie Irving signed a contract. Mm-hmm. He with Dallas, right? Because you can do that.
Yep.
Fred VanVleet signed a contract. Steven Adams signed a contract like a month ago. No one cared. I love Steven Adams, but he did. Mm-hmm. So you can sign contracts with your current teams.
That's right.
Don't have to. Can. Mm. That's all.
It's the move to make. This ain't even hate. This is just looking at the team. This is the move to make. I would be shocked. If De'Aaron Fox is traded from the Spurs. Or if De'Aaron Fox, to your, what you said, played his last game as a Spur, considering the Rich Paul component.
Well, fine. I guess I need to amend this a little bit. This is when I thought Giannis was gone. Because to me, if Milwaukee would think with their head and not their heart, San Antonio could put themselves in a position to win a championship right now, and Milwaukee could put themselves in a position to be better in the future. They could put themselves in a position for a, I don't know that a soft rebuild is the right term, and I don't know if a quick rebuild is the right term, but you could put yourself in a position to kind of reset, and then get better pretty quickly. With the trade, you'll have a couple components in place. You don't want to miss on your draft picks, obviously.
Right.
But I think they could.
Yeah.
But I don't know that that's happening. So we're adamant, just to show I'm not like a super hater, I wouldn't have included De'Aaron in any conversation regarding Kevin Durant. That didn't make sense. It would have been KD.
Well,
De'Aaron and Wemby.
I would have. If they pushed me far enough,
you know what?
Like, we'd have that conversation.
No. I always thought that for a specific reason. And now I realize I always thought from a Phoenix perspective. That doesn't make sense. Then I think about what Phoenix actually did, which doesn't make sense. Mm. So, yeah, I guess they could have.
And you could reroute them, though, like they're. Allegedly may do. Jalen Green.
I don't know if they're rewriting. He
might not. Jalen Green might get moved tonight. Somebody, I saw a report that Anthony Simons might get rerouted. Did you see that?
I was literally about to say that right now, that Anthony Simons could be on the move tonight.
Really?
Yeah, Celtics could include him in deals tonight.
Well, that would get him under the apron, depending on what they got in return. That would get him, because what is he at? What's his number? Do you remember? 20 plus? Something.
Yeah, it's 20 plus, like 25.
Because I think they're 8 over the first apron. Mm.
There are some people that believe Chris Mannix, I think, is where I heard this from.
Your boy.
That's
your boy.
That's your boy. That may be a gap year for Boston. They want to load up on assets and get ready for free agency of 2026. Luka might be available, all that stuff.
Luka might be available. Huh. You know, it is fascinating thinking about the Lakers and how they're going moving forward, because this is a different regime. Now, I know, look, I get Jeannie's still there, but
for now,
I don't know if she's making decisions on people like Rob Pelinka anymore.
Right.
I don't know if there's this circle of trust with the Rambuses and Irvin and, you know, all of these people associated with. They're all essentially, and there's nothing wrong with this, by the way.
Yeah.
A lot of small businesses operate this way. All of the people associated with Dr. Buss.
Yep.
You look at the early stages of the WWF. Vince McMahon, all of those people there, the people behind the scenes, they were all associated with Vince's dad. It was the exact same thing until it wasn't. It wasn't is now for WWE. It's the same thing with the Los Angeles Lakers. Business is going to be done differently.
And hopefully the Lakers turn into what the WWE has. Unwatchable.
Bad stuff.
A lot of scandal in there too, though.
Not wrong. A lot of scandal with the Lakers or with the WWE?
Well, the Lakers are going to become the WWE.
I can't believe WWE is going through this show with this weekend. This is just absolutely insane.
That's right. Oh,
it's absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Absolutely been dropped insane. Off.
Unbelievable, wow.
That's what
man.
Matters to them.
Wow.
We're going to run back our conversation with James Hamm next, and then we're going to head into our coverage of the NBA draft. So lock in. Buckle up. It could be an eventful night, and we will be back here at 10 a.m. to cover it all.
You want immediate reaction should something happen? Flip over to 102.5. We'll be over there.
There we go.
Starting right now, Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.